Well, the old independent always, Sydney Morning Herald. I'm not too sure who he thinks he works for anymore. Maybe he doesn't even know. Andrew Webster joins us on the line after the big, well, merger, takeover, whatever it may well be. G'day, Webby.
G'day, boys. If we can wrap this up quickly, I'm required on the set of The Block straight after this. So,
how do you go at the renovating, mate?
Yeah, look, I finally get the chance to win a Logie.
I thought it might be Love Island, Webby.
Oh, yeah, I've got the ads for Love Island.
Remember that bloke? Remember that famous photographer, the paparazzi photographer? He got the implant. He got the
Darren Lyons. Was it Darren Lyons? Yeah, he was the mayor of Geelong there at one stage, wasn't he?
Right.
the things we cover here, mate. Last night's game, I know there was a lot of drop ball. I know there was a bit stop-starty, but I really enjoyed the contest. The Broncos 12 defeating the Cronulla Sharkies 10. It was two tries apiece, and Chad Townsend missed a goal adjacent to the post.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a great game too. God, the Sharks are a weird team. I agree with the sentiment that they're a dark horse for the competition. I looked at the $17 a couple of weeks ago and thought, you know what, that's not a bad price for the Sharks. Mm-hmm. Particularly after they picked up Aaron Woods. Sometimes in that game, they look so slow and dodgy, and then they score tries where they look like the best attacking team in the competition. I know Shane Flanagan, their coach, had a nice old whinge about the referees afterwards, but, you know, you know, we have an obsession with the refs in this game, and more so this week than ever, but I don't know how much he talked about the Matt Moylan intercept where he put it on a platter. And the Townsend conversion right in front that he missed.
And you know the other one that he missed, Webby? The other one that he missed was a possible sin binning to Paul Gallen when Andrew McCulloch picked the ball up from dummy half about 10 metres out and would have scored.
Look, exactly.
And he wasn't square at marker.
I get it. Look, and they're talking about the Lotelli no tries. And for mine, I actually can agree with Flano with that one where there's the tries being given on the field, and as we all know, the rule is if there's no conclusive evidence, then you go with what the referee saw. I actually hate that rule and been talking for years about it, that it shouldn't be the case. Because if you could definitively say whether the ball touched the ground or not, I was watching Channel 9's coverage. You had Hadley, saying that's a try for sure, and then you had Andrew Johns and Fatty saying absolutely not. And then half time, they've gone to the footy show, and Ryan Girdler saying that's not a try, and Brad Fittler saying otherwise. I don't mind if someone makes the call, either way, but I think that rule's always been flawed.
Yeah.
It's not conclusive evidence, by the way, either. It's sort of like compelling evidence. And I still don't think there was probably, sufficient or compelling evidence there.
But I think if you play it in real time, it's a try.
Yeah.
But when we slow it down, that's the issue. And again, it's human error, isn't it? Like if did you say Freddie and Ryan Girdler disagreed? So depending on who was up in the box, exactly. they would have ordered a try or a no try. So
look, boys, the main thing is, so we've all been talking about referees again, not just this week but all season. You know, I reckon I've been covering the game for about 22 years now, and I reckon for 18 of them, there's been a referees crisis.
Absolutely.
So there is an obsession with it, but there's certainly things in the referees' ranks that are going on that people above them, and I think that's what the head of football, Brian Canavan, is there, and that's his job to do, that needs to be fixed. So, sniffing around the story a little bit this week, what seems to be causing a lot of the angst is this point system that Tony Archer has brought in the last couple of years, where referees are marked at the end of, in their review session on the Monday, they lose 2 points for this mistake, 5 points for this mistake. And this is where the division with Matt Chechen, is happening. And I think it's a personal thing whatsoever that's been alluded to by other commentators. But Chechen is an old-school referee who is nudging 300 first-grade games, who wants to referee the game like they used to referee the game, like a Harrigan used to look after the game, like a Dave Manson, like an Eddie Ward, like a Greg Hartley, for want of a better example. But I think that's what the issue is in the referee when it comes to refereeing in the NRL. The ref's lost control of the game. The main man in the middle has lost control of the game, and I think that's where so many of the issues come from. And we'd roll with it if there wasn't five different voices telling him what to do.
Maybe. Anyway, I can tell you, my man Aaron Woods, if he doesn't start playing the ball correctly, and every time last night, did you watch
too,
it?
Yeah.
It gets into your head, doesn't it?
It does.
I feel like grabbing him and saying, well, I do every week. Mate, can you just put your foot on the ball for me? Anyway, I don't mind the refs blowing it up. Oh, well, anyway, what about this coaching scenario is quite intriguing. Wayne Bennett's come out and gone Wooshka. This week, he's put it back on the board. He says they should be answering these questions about my future, not me. What are your thoughts?
There's obviously division between Wayne Bennett and the front office, but that was quite a remarkable comment from him on the eve of the match to say, to put it back on his chairman and his CEO like that. Anthony Seibold is clearly the coach that I want. That they want. Whether he goes there or not is another question. This is the thing with the Broncos, though, boys, and that's what made it so interesting that Bellamy decided at the last minute not to go. They're such a big, powerful club than any coach would want to go there. I know that South have said they'll give Anthony Seibold as much time as they want, to make a decision on his future. But I can understand how that speculation is not going to go away. So it's actually going to be there all year until he makes a call on what he wants to do. So I'm more concerned about the future of Anthony Griffin out of Penrith. Now, that one just won't go away.
No,
As much as they can come out, players, coaches, administrators, and board members can say there's nothing to see here, there is definitely something going on there at Penrith. The issue, as I understand it, as of this week, is the reason why the board have said, no, we're not getting rid of Anthony Griffin, is that he is apparently on $800,000 a year. So that would be a $1.6 million payout if you were to get rid of Anthony Griffin at the end of this season. Now, I know Panthers Leafs Club are very cashed up, but that's a lot of money to write off. But if their season keeps going south like it is, then it's going to be very interesting times out there at the foot of the mountain.
It is. Are you hearing Seraldo or are you hearing Trent Barrett as a possible replacement? Because I'm hearing Trent Barrett.
Well, I'm hearing that Baz isn't happy at Manly, like most coaches who have coached at Manly, with how it is out there on the northern beaches. A lot of the players who have come through the system, like Cameron Seraldo, and he's a highly regarded coach, I think they're more likely to go with Baz. But again, as I said, I think they're trying to make it work just because of the amount of money that Griffin's on. Believe me, when I heard that figure and mentioned it to a couple of other NRL coaches this week, a lot of them said, what? I'm going to my CEO directly. I'm asking for an upgrade.
Well, particularly when he was looking for a gig. Like, it was never going to be about money for Anthony Griffin. He would have been copping whatever. 400
well,
would have been
upgrade when they were going quite well. It's the great coaching merry-go-round of rugby league.
Very, very strange. Webby, really enjoyed your article regarding Chautauqua and the fact that they should be giving the horse whisperer Monty Roberts a call. You actually rang him. I did text you to say that the NARC rang us on Tuesday morning and suggested it. Then Wednesday you've come out with the article. Are you on the same wavelength as the NARC? And if you are, you're headed for rehab.
Can I firstly say I did not follow up that story because of the NARC. Okay. I didn't hear him make those comments. But, you know, NARC, I've got a bit of respect for you, mate.
Had a good chat with him, mate, but is he going to, you know, have you heard from the Hawks camp yet?
No, well, I haven't heard from the Hawks camp yet, but I would be surprised if the connection. John Hawks is an absolute all-time, great of Australian racing.
Absolutely.
And I can't imagine someone of his calibre being prepared to, to be told how to look after his horse by somebody else. But the connections might think otherwise. It was quite bizarre. It was a bit of a wild goose chase trying to get Monty because he's 83. And I was on a train at the end of the day and finally got a phone call from him at 10 o'clock. He got out of bed just to talk about it. And he was adamant that every single horse that he has dealt with, all the Queen's horses, he did it with Pakistan Star last year, every single horse he has worked with that's had barrier issues, he can fix. He's adamant that that's the case. So I think there'll be some discussions over the weekend with Monty Roberts. But like all of us, I'm a Chautauqua fan. I'd love to see him going again.
Good on you, mate. Always great to chat, Webby.
Good on you, boys.